Up in the ranch dining room this morning, Pastor Johnson led family devotions for us, and he read from Mark chapter 4, which is where our focus is going to be this week. I want to begin by reading just that first section again in the first 9 verses. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Let's again give our attention to God's holy word. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times." Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Let us pray. Lord God, our Father in heaven, the God who created us in your image and likeness, the God who created human beings with ears to be able to hear things around us in the world that you've made, and be able to hear one another's voices. Lord, the God who has created the ear, we pray that as we just heard Jesus say, "Who has an ear, let him hear," we know, Lord, that you need to give us spiritual ears to be able to hear your truth as it's revealed in your holy word, to be able to hear it in a saving way, in a way that will affect our whole life, and in a way that will bear good fruit in our lives, which is pleasing to you, fruit that comes by your grace and is to the praise of your glorious grace. So we pray, Lord, that you be gracious to us again this morning as we gather around your open word. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, I'm actually a little bit amazed that anyone is here at the conference this year. What a title for a series of messages, Seminal Kingdom Theology. Seminal theology. At least one person that I think is here this morning, when they saw that, they said, "What are you going to talk about?" Seminal theology. Well, seminal, the word seminal in English just comes from the Latin word for seed. It's the word for seed. And this weekend, we're going to consider seed theology, seminal theology, for three main reasons. First, because the central object lesson that Jesus repeatedly uses here in Mark chapter 4 has to do with seeds. Jesus teaches spiritual truth using stories about seeds. And so it's seminal theology because the predominant and repeated imagery that Jesus uses is seeds. Secondly, we're going to consider seminal theology because in the passages that we'll look at from Mark chapter 4 this week, we have the opportunity to go to Jesus' own seminary. The word seminary is related to the word seminal. It comes from the same root word, seed. Seminary, some of you know different seminaries. There's a seminary down the road here that I saw the sign for this morning. You know the seminary in Pittsburgh, many of you. Seminary is a time when professors and teachers plant seeds in the minds and lives of young students for the ministry. Seminal ideas and habits that hopefully will bear fruit later on in ministry. As we know, Jesus chose 12 men to be with him, to be his special students, his special disciples, later to be uniquely empowered and enabled to be his ambassadors and witnesses to lay the foundation for the church, the apostles. Jesus, throughout the Gospels, was planting the seeds of truth into these men. In time, much fruit was going to be harvested because of their ministry. And so we are going, in a sense, in Mark chapter 4, to the seminary of Jesus Christ himself, to learn basic truths, foundational truths, seed kinds of truths, seminal truth. And these are basic things. They're probably not new to any of us. But you probably know the story of the famous football coach Vince Lombardi, who, though he had veteran football players on his team, the story goes he'd enter the locker room the first day of the season and hold up a pigskin and say, "Gentlemen, this is a football." He'd start with the basics. He'd start with the fundamentals. And you remember that the Apostle Peter says that he is going to remind the people of things that they already knew. And that was no trouble to him. And it was a benefit to the people. We need to go over basic seven truths over and over to get those basic foundational truths deeply rooted into our hearts and into our lives. Third, we're going to study seed theology and seminal theology from Mark 4 because of something that Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. It's sometimes called the law of the harvest. He said there, "Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." A man reaps what he sows. The law of the harvest. It's a fundamental principle of God. It's something Paul says about which people can be easily deceived. Because he says, don't be deceived. There's something about this law of the harvest that's easily missed or ignored by people. It's something that has to do with the very nature and character and works of God, because he says, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Whatever is going on in the law of the harvest, if we're deceived in it or the way people think about it, it's potential. There's a potential there to mock God if we don't have this right. A man reaps what he sows. That seems self-evident, doesn't it? If you plant beans in your garden, you're going to harvest beans and not carrots. Now, why is that deceptive? What's going on? Well, let's just go over this quickly. It's because seeds are small, first of all. Seeds are small. They seem insignificant. We'll see that later on this week. Life is made up predominantly of small things, ordinary things, everyday things. Not the big things. In fact, the way that we handle the big things or go through the big things is chiefly determined by the way that over the long run, we've dealt with the small things and been disciplined in the small things. And the law of the harvest is deceptive potentially because of the delay in the harvest. Because you plant and then it takes some time for the fruit to be seen. And you can do a lot of things and be sowing a lot of things and not see the immediate effects of those things. And that could be deceptive if we're sowing the wrong things and not immediately receiving the judgment for those things. And people can go on and mock God. And it could be discouraging for the people of God, because we can be sowing and sowing and sowing, and like the song that's sowing in tears, we don't see the fruit of it. And so we can fall into a pitfall of being deceived in terms of the law of the harvest. There are two principles at work in the law of the harvest, quality and quantity. We reap what we sow. Galatians 6, if we sow with the flesh, we'll reap the flesh. If we sow in the Spirit, we'll reap in the Spirit. There's an identity there that's important to remember. But there's also an issue of quantity. When I think of seeds, I think of one plant in particular. Taraxacum officinale. Taraxacum officinale. I couldn't find a flower. I found a leaf of one. Boys and girls, you know what that is? You know what that leaf is? You know, it looks like a lion's teeth, doesn't it? And in French, that would be Dent de Lion, right? Dandelion. That's why it's called a dandelion. I just found the leaf. I couldn't find the seed. The dandelion is actually part of the aster family. It's a flower. But most people think it's a weed. It's a weed because it produces so many seeds. Scientists tell us that a single dandelion plant in one season can produce about 5,000 seeds. And I believe it, looking at my front lawn. The quantity. But you know, it's the same spiritual principle in the law of the harvest. Don't be deceived. Not only will you reap what you sow, but there is an increase in the harvest. In Hosea 8:7, it says, if you sow the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind. The things that we're saying, sowing in life, not only you'll reap the same in quality, but it will be in a greater quantity in eternity. Heaven or hell? What are you sowing? If Paul states the principle, as a man reaps what he sows, the great deception is, I will not reap what I'm sowing. All men, one Puritan said, all men want to go to heaven. They love the end, but they hate the means. You're not sowing in keeping with heaven, with glory. No one wants to go to hell. They hate the end, but they love the means. It's the law of the hearts. So we're going to go to Jesus' seminary and learn about seeds. And learn what he's teaching us through this picture, this object lesson of seeds. And I thought this would be appropriate for a conference like this as well, because many of you are in, we could call the seed time of your life, especially. Generally speaking, youth is the age when many seeds are planted in your life. Your lives are like young plants. We look forward to seeing the fruitful things by God's grace that will come in your life. Now, of course, that doesn't exclude older people. The age you are now is the youngest age you have left. So this is seed time for you as well. There's a Dutch proverb, though, the seeds of the day are best planted in the first hour. Boys and girls, by God's grace, the sooner, the younger that you learn these lessons, the more blessed it will be for you in your life, and the more glory God receives. Well, if you look at your outlines, boys and girls, I put some questions there, and if you've looked at the questions, you may already have been thinking of some of the answers. The first question is simply, what is a seed? What is a seed? And I don't want to insult your intelligence, because that's such a simple question, and I know, boys and girls, that when I would ask, what is a seed, most of you would reply, well, of course, Pastor Kingswood, a seed is the fertilized, mature oval of a flowering plant. Right? Containing the embryo or rudimentary plant itself. But, you know, there are two ways to define something. You define it with a definition, a connotative definition, explain it with words, or you can explain things with a denotative definition. That is a seed. I just went for a little walk this morning and I got some seeds here. These are some grass seeds. We call that orchard grass. I don't know if you call that here. And you can see the little seeds in it. Take a look at some grass, boys and girls. Later on, you'll see the seeds. This is like a fescue grass, and the seeds are in there. All sorts of seeds around. Have a look this week and see if you can see seeds. On the ground, there are some seeds that I've noticed. If you look carefully in some pine cones that are on the ground, you might be able to find some seeds even in pine cones. We know what these kinds of seeds are around us, but the Bible says that seeds can be other things as well. Thoughts, words, and actions are seeds. What a man sows, that he reaps. And when the Bible speaks that way, it's talking about the things that you think, the things that you say, and the things that you do are like seeds, because they grow and they produce other things in greater quantity. Thoughts, words, and actions are like seeds. The Word of God is like seed. Mark 4:14, the seed is the Word of God. We have to think about how God's Word is like a seed. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ himself is a seed. All the way back to Genesis chapter 3, we don't have time to develop this theme of seeds, but the seed of the woman is the Savior, and that's Jesus, the Bible tells us. In John 12:24, Jesus talks about a seed, says, unless a grain of wheat falls in the ground and dies, It doesn't produce any fruit. And he's speaking here of his own death. So Jesus himself is like the seed, boys and girls. And the Bible also says that in a way, you are like the seed. Matthew 13:37 is the parable of the wheat and the weeds. It's not in Mark 4, so we won't look at it carefully, but you are like the seed. The good seed are the sons and daughters of the kingdom. The bad seed, the sons and daughters of the evil one. All these things are like seeds. The next question is, though, what is good soil? What do you think if I tried to plant some nice watermelon seeds up here on the stage? I love watermelon. We had our own gardens when we were growing up. We could plant anything we wanted. And my brothers and I always only planted one thing, watermelons. And we could eat them as much as we wanted and as often as we wanted. That was the rule. We took care of our garden and we could eat the fruit, watermelon. Do you think this would be a good place to grow some watermelon here? In here, down here, it'd be very nice. You know, it's just easy to get to. It's right here. No? Not good? Why not? Yeah, it's hard. It's not good soil, is it? It's not even soil. Oh, what is good soil is the next question. You know, soil, if you're interested in soil, you notice soil all the time. Most of the time, we just walk on it. Right? I looked up the U.S. Department of Agriculture in their soil taxonomy, how they describe all different kinds of soil. 12 soil orders in the USDA soil taxonomy. It all kind of looks the same. I can tell a little bit of differences in soil. But what's good soil? I have a friend who works in landscaping back up in Canada. And he gets really agitated and upset when he's driving somewhere with someone and they see a pile and someone says, look, there's a pile of dirt. Well, he doesn't like that. He's like, dirt is what is in your vacuum cleaner bag. That's dirt. But what I see there is soil. That's soil. If you're a landscaper or a farmer, you know what he means. It's not dirt, it's soil. What is good soil? Well, good soil is soft. It's deep in the field. It's clean. We have friends that order topsoil for their front yard. They were going to do their front yard. But it was filled with weed seeds. It all came up in weeds. It wasn't clean soil. Mark chapter 4, Jesus speaks about different kinds of soil. I want you to look at that, and I hope you'll go over it in your class together. Different kinds of soil. And by that, Jesus is speaking about different kinds of hearts. Your heart is like soil. And it depends upon the kind of soil that your heart is, how the seed will grow. It's very important what is good soil. The last question for you that's there this morning is, who is the great gardener? People grow things, and some people grow things better than others. If you're a good grower, sometimes they say you have a green thumb. It means you're a good grower. But the Bible tells us that the great gardener is God Himself. Who planted the garden in Eden? God did. God is the great gardener. As the creator, He planted a garden. And it was perfect. It had so many beautiful trees and fruit trees, things to eat, beautiful to look at, good for food, delicious fruit. God planted all that for man. But in an even more special way, Jesus says in John 15 that God is the gardener, and He's speaking about people's lives. Remember, you're like seed, your hearts are like soil. God has to be the great gardener. God has to be the one who's doing something in our lives if there's going to be good fruit in our lives. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples. Jesus said that comes when we are close to Jesus, united to Jesus, abiding in Christ and abiding in His Word. So boys and girls, this morning we talked about seed, we talked about soil, but we always have to remember the Savior. In Isaiah 61, when the prophet speaks about Jesus, at the end of that passage, It talks about the people of God, and it says they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. God is the great gardener, and He's growing a beautiful garden with beautiful trees, and those are the people of God. Those are Christians, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's all for His glory, for the display of His splendor. So, in your classes, I hope you're going to look at Mark chapter 4 in that first parable. Think of seeds. Think of soil. But remember the Savior. And remember who the great gardener is in our lives, God Himself. Let me pray just quickly with the children. Lord God, our Father in heaven, You are the great gardener. And we pray, Lord God, that in Your grace and by Your grace, You would do everything that was necessary in our hearts and in our lives so that we would bear good fruit and not bad fruit. And we're so thankful that we can ask that and pray in the name of Jesus Christ. He is the vine, the true vine, the one who bore good fruit. You came looking for fruit among even your people, and You found only bad fruit. Jesus came looking for fruit and found only leaves, because sometimes it looks like someone is fruitful, but it's only leaves and no fruit. Oh Lord Jesus, we pray that we would be united to You by faith, that we would be trusting in You, and that oh Father in heaven, that You would make good fruit grow in our lives for the display of Your splendor, for the praise of Your glorious grace. Lord, we pray for these young children. We pray for these young plants, that they, even now, Lord, by Your grace, would be oaks of righteousness, small but strong, because they're planted in Christ, rooted in His Word, even from their early days. Oh, Lord, how we pray that would be true. In Jesus' name, amen.